and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis.
I'm Lita.
Ron is not with us today, and I'm Jean Murray. Collectively, we are the hosts of Podcast DX. Our guest today is Lita Thomas. Lita is a military veteran, podcast host, author, Paul Simon fan. She likes long walks on the beach and a pina colada. She is joining us today to talk about hiatal hernias. Hello, Lita.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Mom. All right. So thank you for taking the time to join us today. Can you tell us what is a hiatal hernia?
Well, I'm going to be giving you sound effects in between here because I'm having a kind of a rough day, and one of my
Unusual symptoms.
Oh, now I get hiccups and burping.
Great.
Is hiccups and burping.
Okay. Well, I can fill in the folks. According to the Mayo Clinic, a hiatal hernia occurs when the upper part of your stomach bulges through the large muscle separating your abdomen and chest, known as the diaphragm. Your diaphragm has a small opening or hiatus through which your food tube or esophagus passes before connecting to your stomach. A hiatal hernia occurs when the stomach pushes up through that opening and into your chest cavity. A small hiatal hernia usually doesn't actually cause any problems and does not require any repairs. However, you may actually not even know that you have it. And they might discover it when they're looking for something else. But a large hiatal hernia like Lita's can allow food and acid back up into your esophagus, leading to heartburn. Self-care measures or medications might help relieve these symptoms. However, a very large hiatal hernia, like Lita's, might require surgery. And what actually causes a hiatal hernia, Lita?
I will try to talk now.
Okay.
I'll try. Hiatal hernia might be caused by age-related changes in your diaphragm, injury to the area, for example, after trauma or certain types of surgery, being born with an unusually large hiatus, which is the hole that your esophagus goes through, or persistent and intense pressure on the surrounding muscles, such as while coughing, vomiting, straining during a bowel movement, exercising, or lifting heavy objects.
Okay. That's why you'll see on a movie or TV show when they lift something heavy and they say, oh, no. Lita, what symptoms led you to seek out medical care?
Personally?
Mm-hmm.
The burping, constant burping. That's why I went to a doctor.
Okay.
And heartburn.
Okay.
The heartburn was so bad one time, I thought I was having a heart attack.
It was also that you had eaten a very large burrito.
Yeah, but the burrito was spicy, and spicy foods can cause it.
Okay.
Some people may notice that they have different symptoms. There are several common symptoms, such as heartburn. Heartburn is a pressure or a pain or a burning sensation in your chest.
Mm-hmm.
Regurgitation of food or liquids up into your mouth, like, you know, it comes back up.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to necessarily throw it out.
Mm-hmm.
It could just come up to your mouth.
Okay.
You swallow it.
Joy.
A backflow of stomach acid into the esophagus, which is called acid reflux. Difficulty swallowing. Chest or abdominal pain. Feeling full soon after you eat, shortness of breath,
or even vomiting blood, or having black stool because of gastrointestinal bleeding.
Okay, I'm sorry, my pages got stuck together.
Okay.
Yes, that could be another symptom.
Okay, and if you have any of these symptoms, you should seek medical care immediately because they could also be signs of other serious conditions.
Right.
What tests can help diagnose a hiatal hernia?
Well, I had quite a few tests, but they can do x-ray, upper endoscopy, where they put a tube and a camera down your throat, esophageal manometry, which they put a balloon down your throat and measure pressure in your esophagus,
okay,
an MRI, and a pH study, and I had all of those.
Wow. And how have you and your healthcare team decided to treat your condition?
Well, initially I was taking antacids like Tums, you know, over-the-counter stuff. However, I was careful taking them because they can affect your kidneys. And since I already shared my spare and I only have one left, I got to be careful.
Okay.
Then I was prescribed acid-reducing medications and proton pump inhibitors. I've also made several lifestyle changes, such as eating several small meals throughout the day, walking, hitting the gym, and when I say hitting the gym, I don't really exercise profusely anymore, but I do a recumbent machine where I can pedal on a recumbent bike, limiting my intake of tomato sauce, spicy food, mint, foods that are high in fat, alcohol, caffeine, chocolate. I also had to give up carbonated beverages.
What's left?
Milk. Milk is left.
Okay.
But not chocolate milk, because you got to give up chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
So I occasionally have heartburn, pain, discomfort in my chest, occasional regurgitation of food, and my health care provider recommended surgery now, mm-hmm. and I went for a second and a third opinion, actually, and they concurred with that assessment, so that's the next step for me.
And, Mom, I understand that when you were having all of these tests run to try and diagnose your condition, they noticed a few other issues. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes, during the MRI, they noticed that I have a large number of gallstones. And while I'm under anesthesia and in the operating room for the hiatal hernia repair, another surgeon is going to be removing my gallbladder.
Okay.
And the results of my esophageal motility test showed that my esophagus is not working properly.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. How common are hiatal hernias?
As you get older, they mm-hmm. do become more common. And with Ehlers-Danlos and the connective tissue problem, the risk is higher. So this will be my third hernia repair in general, but because of the Ehlers-Danlos, I think.
So because of your genetic connective tissue disorder, you're having issues with hernias on a regular basis.
Right.
I'm sorry to hear that. What, if anything, can you do to help prevent hiatal hernias?
Avoid heavy lifting, especially if you're bent over.
Okay.
So always squat, mm-hmm. Like bend at the knees before mm-hmm. you lift anything.
And maybe do two-person lifts?
Two-person lift, right.
Okay.
And get enough fiber in your diet so that you're not straining when you're using the toilet.
Okay. Lita, could you walk us through your upcoming procedure?
Sure. It's going to be laparoscopic.
Okay.
If at all possible. They mm-hmm. said that they're going to keep it laparoscopic. They're going to put little holes in the abdomen and pull the stomach back down where it belongs, because right now part of my stomach is up between my lungs in the diaphragm. Pull it back down, and then they're going to wrap the top part of my stomach around the esophagus, not all the way around, because that's a complete funduplication. I'm having a partial funduplication. So they're going to wrap the stomach around part of my esophagus and stitch it to my esophagus, so it makes kind of a knot. And this way, that big knot hopefully won't pop back up through the hiatal opening. And while I'm under, the next doctor will step in and remove the gallbladder.
And who is doing the implant? No, just kidding. And what role have your friends and family played in this healthcare journey?
Well, they've encouraged me to keep going and keep getting answers, and they go with me to visits and stuff, and they support me emotionally and let me know, that it's okay and we can get through this, and they make sure that I don't eat or drink what I'm not supposed to and lift what I'm not supposed to.
And I think they said no when someone suggested taking out your esophagus.
Oh, yeah, that too.
How can our listeners learn more about you and hiatal hernias?
Well, I asked the last doctor if he could mm-hmm. take pictures during the surgery, so that'll be fun, right?
I would love to see the gallstones. I have a weird fascination with them.
Okay.
It's very, very weird.
All right.
I will say that. Is there anything you're doing to prepare for your procedure and your recovery afterwards?
I have been walking as much as I can and using the recumbent bike at the gym. And unfortunately, the weight, I still haven't lost any weight, but I think I'm in better
cardiovascular
aerobic condition. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Is that right?
Sure.
Okay. So hopefully that helps. And I have you know, gone to all the different specialists, and I've made sure that they know all of my different problems so that they're aware of any surprises that they might find when they're in there.
Okay.
Like mesh that another doctor left in there that I guess they don't do anymore.
Or sponges, somebody's car keys. Okay. Sounds good.
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, we will include photos, apparently.
Yeah.
If we get those.
And video.
And video.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh.
We will get deep inside this issue. And
yes.
Lita.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing your story with us, Mom. Mm-hmm.
I know this was short, but...
short but sweet.
My stomach is kind of like acting up today. So, but we'll do a follow-up after the surgery. How's that?
That sounds great. Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. If our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com or through our website, podcastdx.com, on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, TikTok. Really, we're everywhere.
Yes, we are.
And we're watching you.
No, we're not watching you. If you have a moment to spare, please give us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast. As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast.
Thanks for listening.